In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. This is Jim Hoffman.
This is Josh Knapp.
And I'm Dave Brenner.
Gentlemen, we are here again. And of course, as always, thanks for joining. Before we get into today's, impromptu topic, just want to mention to people they can, of course, follow us on Facebook, and I encourage them to do that and engage with us there. And we are at facebook.com/EMS Office Hours, and also follow us on Twitter, and we are at EMS Safe on Twitter as well. And of course, you can always send questions and comments and about stuff you want to listen to on the show, topics you want to hear opinions on, or for us to discuss on the show. You can send that to contact@EMSOfficehours.com. I know before we started the show, guys, we were discussing some spinal mobilization topics, and I think it's interesting because it seems like this is almost becoming like a snowball effect going on now, where you've got more and more regions that are dropping the long spine board as a method of immobilizing people from falls and car wrecks and things like that, and using it more as a what was initially, intended to be for a transport device.
I have a conspiracy theory.
Spine device, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the real reason we're dropping the longboard requirements is because of the longboard shortage. What happened was, with greenhouse gases building up and the idea of climate change, should I say, to the PC end of that, they want to cut down on large manufacturing of plastics. So now we can't go back to the wood ones because
we burned all the trees.
Right. We need to preserve the trees now. And we're stuck in this rock and a hard place. Normally longboards don't dissolve. They stay around for a long time. They're very durable. As we all know, they're easy to wipe blood off. But what people don't know is there's been, because of the climate change in the Northeast, there's been a tremendous amount of snow. So these longboards have been disappearing into a new sport that's a morph between snowboarding and spinal immobilization.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we're buying that. I think we're going to go with the evidence-based research that they're finally accepting.
But we'll be open-minded, Josh.
Okay, you can be.
You can
that
tell
way.
Us you told us so.
We'll, you can be we'll that go way. By, told, we'll, you heard it here we'll, first.
Yeah, we'll entertain the conspiracy theory this way. If it ever does happen, we can always say that right here at EMS Office Hours, we've said it first.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That there's no
yeah.
that there's.
I don't like to be known as a conspiracy theorist show because, you know, of course, there's another guy named Jim Hoffman out there who runs around saying 9/11 was a fake and it was a big conspiracy.
Yeah, we got to get that guy.
Yeah, like the Holocaust.
I don't want to be, you know, kind of that. Oh, that's why he doesn't believe in 9/11. No, I'm not that Jim Hoffman.
Right.
I'm a different Jim Hoffman.
Right, exactly. But we don't believe in longboards on this show and never have. So.
Oh, I believe they exist.
No, we believe. It's not like believing in Santa Claus, and I hope you're over the age of 12, and if you don't, you're, well, sorry for the spoiler.
There is a Santa Claus.
Okay, all right, fine, if you want to go it that way.
Yeah.
If that's, you can stay to it. But we have always argued about the efficacy of longboards.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about that. I mean, on this show.
So the rest of the world, I remember
when we had Tim Noonan on here a few times talking about it, and he brought up all the research about it, and you know, pictures of before and after, and X-rays of before and after type stuff. And this is like, you know, this has got to be years ago that we brought this. Just, you know, start talking about this type of thing. And the EMS, you know, community as a whole has been talking about it. But yet you still had people that, you know, I mean, you can go on Facebook even today and, you know, see comments about, you know, I board them just to CYA, or I would put them on a board because of mechanism and, you know, shit like that, where most people would have brain in their head nowadays don't, you know, kind of, you know, go with that.
Well, I'm sure it's not going to listen to those strange people out there. What are they called? Doctors that think they know everything about medicine and set the standards for our care. Right. There's with no sense in listening to them.
Master's degrees and stuff. What kind of degrees
stuff? Yeah. That's just, they're overeducated snots.
Right.
Yeah. And they've never, ever
guys
been on
the meds today, right? I'm
they
just
don't understand. Yes, really. Caught me in a...
No, but you're right. I mean, it, listen, I know I lost track of the New York State thing with that, because I initially heard, just to talk about New York and the East Coast for a minute on this, just to kind of give a – I'll tell you my end of it, where I'm at, where what we did
well,
with the spinal mobilization.
All together different, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I mean, I thought that CMAQ had initially talked about getting rid of the boards, and then they were backpedaling on it and saying that they're going to keep them out. They're not ready to do that. But New York City REMAQ, I heard, was ready to get rid of it altogether, and then they couldn't do it because the state said no, we're not approving that.
Well, actually, Hunter Mountain.
So that changed back.
I think they might have been asked to wait until the state came out with a protocol.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I wasn't sure what happened. I know that the REMAQ was trying to do something, and then they came out and said, no, we can't do it yet because the state said no. And maybe that was the reason why, because they, you know.
I think that might have been the case.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. So now, what are they doing? Is it in the protocol to use the board, or what is it that they're?
Well, I know they were doing a statewide rollout, and they were doing some sort of webinar. I wasn't able to participate. I understand they had some technical issues with it, but they're still
using computers,
and you can go online, Dave. You've actually done the training. What's involved?
Well, I did it on the one that overwhelmed the servers, and the state sent out some material, which you guys will be receiving in about 40 seconds.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. But
Okay.
Right. It's being sent.
And you review the material, and then you can go.
Well,
and what
I believe is going to happen, they're going to try to do the webinar again. I thought it was a little ambitious to try and run a webinar, an interactive webinar with 850 participants.
All right.
That's what we had.
But you can't fault them for trying.
Technology
happens. Right.
But, I'm going to tell you this right now. Had they contacted me to organize the webinar, they would have had no problem.
That's very true, because we're experienced with that.
Actually, several times during the presentation, people were typing in, where is Jim Hoffman when you need him?
They should have, because, you know, I had done, you know, that
online
EMS web summit online with all day long, and we had no drop-offs at a day-long event.
But that being said, to expect 850 people to be participants is a little
wacky. Oh, yeah, participating where they can actually ask questions or speak at the same time, is that's insanity.
Right. So anyway, while there may be another webinar or two or three, one at least is going to be recorded. It's going to be available either some way electronically. I don't know if it's going to be a YouTube event or a All clip right. on a sponsor, you know, somebody.
Again, they can contact me and I can format the video for them so it'll play on all devices and people can log in and view it if they want, or they can just have it just a direct link to it.
Are we going to have to watch a 30-second commercial from Ferno?
No. Okay. God, I hope not.
Okay.
Sponsored by.
So anyway, so Dave, what was the deal with it? Did they decide to get rid of the boards, or what was the game plan?
Well, yeah. So here's the deal: the boards themselves, as we know, are an irritant. You know, the boards.
Well, that's
are,
wait. That's partially true. They are useful in certain situations.
They are
when trying to move a body from one location to the other.
Actually, they point out that the greatest loss, although they don't use these words, the greatest loss is that when you had them on the board, there was nothing easier for transferring from our gurney to the hospital bed. That was the easiest. And then, of course, they would have to take them off the board, but our transfer was much easier. Now we're going to have people who will not be on boards, and the transfer becomes a more sophisticated process.
Yeah.
You know, well, with slide boards and the like.
You know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's what they've done by me. We've gotten rid of the boards, and now the hospitals have gone out and purchased slide boards and devices and stuff to get them from the stretcher to the hospital bed now. Because now we're supposed to, even if we use a board to put them on the stretcher, we have to log roll them off of the board, you know,
right.
And they remain supine, but they're off of the backboard.
Right.
You know, they actually encourage us now even to use, they didn't have them in New York when I was there, but the portable stretchers.
Right, the multi-man carry.
Yeah, they're like just
the rollout.
They prefer
sheets.
Us to use that. Yeah, right? They prefer us to use that rather than a board, even to move them from point A to point B.
And I'm still not sure, because that is the best and safest way to move somebody. You have, and what people there's a couple of technical names for them. I don't recall the brand names, but what these are basically sheets of fabric. Usually nylon or some sort of heavy-duty material with hand holds, usually six or three or four to a side sewn in that give you 6 to 8 positions to grip this thing on.
And the most ambulances, as far as I know, are designed for the feet of those things to sit in, so it's secure on the bench. So you can actually have two patients.
Oh, you're talking about the fold-out stretcher.
Yes, the fold-out
stretcher. Yeah, that's the litter. That's the old World War II litter. Yeah,
exactly.
And most ambulances used to be designed by that. I'm now seeing that design come out with the new safety seats that they have that buckle in like an astronaut. Now those they're no
and
longer.
And the thing you're talking about is those mega mover things, Josh, right? They're just soft canvas that fold up.
That are easy to clean and all that other stuff. I don't understand
the
why.
Problem with
go ahead.
The problem with that, I guess, is that the person's not gonna be necessarily supine if you're moving them from point A to point B, because you're gonna be, you know, kind of bending, they're gonna be kind of collapsed in the middle of the device.
But you don't need supine anymore.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure, like I said, what the New York guidelines are saying as far as that goes. Is the idea to put the collar on patients?
Yes.
Only, and they stay supine?
Well, they don't have to be necessarily supine.
Unless there's no back pain, if they just have neck pain, they can sit up.
They can be seated, yes.
Yeah. But if it's back pain, they have to be supine. Is that how it reads, or?
You know, I'm trying to send it, and it's gone.
Because to me,
you guys.
Awesome. I don't have my email open, so.
So they actually have a nice they have an algorithm to follow, which is good.
Okay.
the suspected spinals. And you know, they cover the person who's lying on the floor, the person seated. Mm-hmm. By the way, the person who's seated on the floor, they have them, they put a shortboard on them, help them stand, and they sit them down and take off the shortboard. How's that, huh?
So now there's going to be some more steps to get them to the stretcher.
Well, not usually. I think there are fewer steps in general.
Okay. Well, I'll put a shortboard on somebody's a pain in the ass when I've done that. But I mean, I think the one thing that I think some people don't realize when it comes to the fact that a lot of areas and agencies and stuff are getting rid of the long spy board for a mobilization, using it, like we said, as a sort of a transport device from a car to the stretcher, or
and it may be an appropriate extrication device for a high angle rescue or whatever.
Right, exactly. But I think what people aren't thinking of, it's not this idea of, okay, we're not using long spine boards anymore, so if you see somebody in a car that's complaining of neck pain or back pain, it's not, okay, get out of the car and walk over to the ambulance and sit down on my stretcher. You still have to, you know, put the collar on them and extricate them from the vehicle. It's not this idea of, okay, well, now that we're not using long boards, we can have them doing jumping jacks on the scene. You know what I mean? Type
right.
thing. Or you take the stretcher out of the back of the ambulance and you kind of wave them over to you type thing. You still have to get the stretcher to the patient as close as you can, get them onto the stretcher without manipulating things, you know.
Right. Well, for example, if the person was seated in a vehicle, they get the collar, they get I'm going to just say it's a brand name, KED, they get the KED, the vest, however you guys want to call it. You get the person onto a board and then you remove it. Not a board, onto the gurney. And it could be in a very semi-Fowler's position that you're putting them on. Mm-hmm. Remember the rapid extrication?
Yeah.
The rapid extrication was you rapidly, without a KED, you move the person onto the longboard. You lie them down on the longboard. And in this current rapid extrication, if the patient is conscious, you support their head and you put a collar on them and they stand up.
Yeah.
They stand up and then they sit down.
So there's no stipulation as far as the position on the stretcher, whether they have back pain, neck pain, it doesn't matter. It's just a position of comfort for the patient.
Yep. But what we're going to end up doing is restricting their back and neck from moving. When a person's lying down on a gurney, they're not moving.
Right.
You know, their back's not shifting left and really. I mean, unless you have some wacky driving going on, their back's not moving. They actually show the long spine board when extricating people from a car just as a bridge to the stretcher, so that you could slide a person out of a car along the long board onto a gurney, and then the board's not even there. You know, just slide it out because didn't need it, don't want it.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking about this also. I'm not sure. I mean, the doc that did my in-servicing was talking about it, and he said, you know, he goes, the people that you take from these accidents, and whether it's a fall or a trauma of some type, if they have like true pain in their neck and true pain in their back, they're not moving. They're trying not to move. You know,
they're guarding.
They're not. What's that?
They're guarding.
Yes, they're not whipping their head around, looking back and forth. They're sitting on the stretcher or laying on the stretcher, you know, as still as they can be because they've got this pain.
Right.
In their back.
Any movement causes them pain.
Yeah, exactly. So, like you said, Dave, you know, when you're using if you use the board and stuff like that, there's more movement, you know, on the stretcher than if they just lay on the stretcher or, like you said, semi-fowlers or whatever, against the stretcher pad.
And we know that some people will lie on the board, they'll be left there, and they'll get ulcers. They didn't have back pain before, but we put them on the board, and then 45 minutes later, when the doc finally comes to them, my back and my neck are hurting, doc.
Well, they had shown an example of an elderly male that was 70-something years old. He had fallen, nursing home. They get him on the board, take him to the hospital. He was on a board for, I think, 45 minutes. Before they got to him to get him off the board, and he already had like a stage 1 decubiti starting.
Yeah, he probably had kyphosis.
So the doctor's like, you know, it's gonna now he's gonna need more care for this decubit eye than he did was gonna need for any sort of back injury he might have had from falling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all this type of stuff, and this is why I'm almost like excited that I'm still in EMS and seeing such a change like this.
I'm happy for it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I remember when, years ago when I was in EMS, and you, if you didn't board and collar a MVA patient, that chart, that ACR was getting kicked back to you, and you were standing in front of your supervisors, trying to explain why you didn't board and collar, the seven patients that were in the car, you know? And it's like, well, why don't you do it? Because, and I think a lot of it was because of, the liability end of it, which was the big thing we've talked about before, Josh, on this show, is why we think, the big hindrance of getting rid of the backboards to begin with because of everyone's, afraid of being sued for not board and collaring, people.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many.
I wanted to read this to you guys. Right. It's right now. But these words were the words that are terrific. A long spine board is one of multiple modalities that can be used to minimize spinal movement. Electing not to use a long spine board will not constitute a deviation from the standard of care. It's right from the state. It is a very strong, I believe, legal statement.
Sure.
And,
it says stop using this. You don't have to.
Well, right. No, it just says it's one of many. You can use it and not use it.
Right, but it's,
we do but not.
It's,
but they also point out that
you won't be penalized. What it's really covering is the CYA statement.
Yes.
It's basically saying there is no cover your ass on this because you don't need it.
We did
if
that.
You
we
decide
covered.
That you don't need it.
Right. Right.
You're good.
I think one thing that's going to happen. And something that we have to we as providers are going to have to start understanding with this stuff is that now you're going to have the public who doesn't understand why we're not going to be using the boards anymore. You're going to have these things where you've got these football games and the football player that gets knocked on the field and the crew comes out and then just puts them on the stretcher with a collar, no board.
But to get them on the stretcher. They're going to have to use something, probably a common board.
But they're not going to be doing the whole thing like they're doing now. And you're going to have people, I think, that are going to be scratching their heads. Why aren't they doing it?
Those are the Monday morning quarterbacks.
Really? You had to go there.
I had to.
A show is not complete without a Dave Brenner pun.
Punishment.
Right. That's true.
Punishment.
No, but I think, and not even just that, I think a lot of things that people are used to seeing on TV shows and stuff like that, and what they've seen in the past, just on, on commercials and news events and stuff like that, where now they're not going to be really seeing that anymore. It's going to be almost like another. It's going to be like almost like a re-education of people that okay, that's not going to be the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when I used to try to, you get these people in car accidents that you knew didn't need a board. Because they saw the accident and their head turned and their neck hurts too, they wanted to be seen at the hospital and, that they don't need the board, they don't need the collar. So you sit there telling them, listen, I'm going to have to put you on a really hard board and I'm going to have to put a really stiff collar on your neck and tape you down and strap you in and all that type of stuff. To me now it's such a better way to, treat and transport these people without having to go through all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes back to what David just mentioned, that the wording where it says it's not going to be considered, a breach of anything because you're still, doing the right thing for the patient, and it's not based on being sued or not sued.
We needed that.
So I think it's important, for that type of stuff. So, I don't want to get too much into it, guys, because I know we're a little short on time today. I just wanted to touch on that, that whole pop. How do you deal with that? Oh, the phone's ringing. That's some phone ring. Oh
Why do I feel like I'm in the mood for ice cream?
I know. I was getting ready to stop running down a block chasing a truck there for a second. But I think that, you know, while New York is one segment of the EMS, you know, community, and where I'm at, North Carolina, another segment of the EMS community, I think that it's picking up everywhere you look now, that more and more places are not, you know, doing it. You know, and I remember when I sat for the in-servicing, when they were talking about getting rid of them, I was like, I was almost in tears that they were getting rid of it, you know, and hearing these words that, you know, you almost were hoping to hear like years and years ago, and then just no one ever really getting on board with it because of, to me, I think more of a fear of getting sued than what was good for the patient, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, guys. I don't want to go on and on. I know we have a busy day, all three of us today. I want to read something that I saw on a friend's Facebook page that was it's kind of fire related, but I think it correlates to EMS as well. And it was the Chief John Eversole had said this. He's from Chicago Fire Department, but he said that our department makes 1,120 calls every day. Do you know how many of those calls the public expects perfection on? 1,120.
Mm-hmm.
He said, nobody calls the fire department and says, send me two dumbass firemen in a pickup truck. In 3 minutes, they want five brain surgeon decathlon champions to come out and solve all their problems.
It's an emergency, damn it. That's what you get right. paid for. My and tax this, dollars pay your salary.
Right. And this is something I think I think that can be definitely applied to EMS as well. You know, when it comes to what the calls that we go on and how many of your calls you respond to, no matter where you work, whether you're working in a small agency or a very large agency, you know, when you get that call and you go to it, they're not expecting you to get there, you know, and be half-assed. They want you to know what you're doing, you know, solve their issue, whatever it is, whether it's a breathing issue, whether it's a stub toe or a broken arm or whatever the case may be, you know. So I think that's kind of important that we have to sort of keep in mind, you know, sort of at the public expectation of us, which is perfection. And I think we have to, you know, keep that in mind when we respond to calls and do what we do every day. And it's just a little sidebar I want to mention because I saw that the other day and I just thought it was very kind of applicable,
mm-hmm.
you know, to EMS as well as fire. So, all right, guys, let me end it there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All righty. This will be live on the website in a day or so. And that's pretty much it. So, guys, again, anyone listening to the show, if you want to questions, comments, concerns, be sure to send them to us. It is at contact@emsofficehours.com. So, as always, I am... Oh, boy, what the hell was that?
Wow.
That was a cough.
Well, we also have our guest cough in.
Oh, that's the guest. Well, no show would be complete without a cough or a cell phone ringing or...
Right. Because that way you know it's real.
Background. Yeah, right, exactly. Bird chirping in the background. Or
we're not professionals. We're professionals.
We're not professionals.
EMS.
I'm a professional, you know, I'm a professional podcaster, not that great of an editing. So, all right, guys, that's it. As always, I am Jim Hoffman.
And until next time, I'll be Josh Knapp.
I'll always be Dave Brenner.
Always.
All right, I'll always be Dave Brenner too.
No, not available.
I wish I could be Dave Brenner. All right.